you're interested, please talk to her right after. We'll go to the table back there. We're going to talk. We're going to introduce to you today, Bezalel Wuknia. Did I say it correctly? Close enough. Wuknia. Bezalel was born and raised in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. He's also a medical doctor. Earned his degree at the Addis Ababa University. He has an MA in transformational leadership from Greenwich University in the UK. He also has an MA in biblical and theological studies from Ethiopia Graduate School of Theology. I'm actually tired saying all the degrees that you have. He also led and ministered as senior pastor and board chairman of Emmanuel United Church of Ethiopia for over 20 years, and there's about 150 churches.
450.
Excuse me, 450 churches that he oversaw there. His greatest accomplishment, though, is that he's married with two children. He's still married, still has a good wife, a good marriage, children. He is currently has moved to the States as a minister of church development through Global Impact Resources, which is the arm of our church. So we have a significant investment in Bezalel. I mean, he is starting a church in Maryland where I hear there's hundreds of thousands of Ethiopians, 95% do not go to church. I mean, he's up there planning a church, felt God called him to come here. We as Global Impact and his church are sponsoring him so that he could come into the country and start a church in Maryland. So did you realize that we're helping start a church in Maryland? With Bezalel and the Ethiopian church. Thank you, brothers, for being here. They're from the Ethiopian church up in Raleigh. We're so glad to have them as our guest this morning. Pastor Nelson Ramos is here also from our Tabernacle of Restoration, our Spanish-speaking congregation that meets here at 5 o'clock on Sunday. So we're very pleased to have you. Let's give Bezalel a warm Eastern North Carolina welcome as he comes up to share the gospel. Thank you so much.
Good morning. What a privilege and an honor to be a speaker at the International Sunday. I'm so privileged and honored to be invited to be a speaker on this special event. Thank you, Eddie, for inviting me to be speaking at this very amazing and interesting Sunday. I brought greetings from my wife and from my kids, and greetings from the church, the Emmanuel Church in Silver Spring, Maryland. And Pastor Eddie told you I just moved here 6 months ago, and Global Impact Resources has provided the legal and the administrative infrastructure, you know, and helped me sponsor and come over here to have this religious visa and be working among Ethiopians in Maryland, Silver Spring. And I just want to appreciate and thank you before the church, especially Pastor Mike, thank you so much for believing in the vision that I have, and I've been carrying it for years. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And the staff have been working, you know, together with the leadership to make this happen. Thank you, all of you guys. God bless you. As Pastor told you, in Maryland, D.C., Virginia area, there are close to 300,000 Ethiopian immigrant population. It is the third largest and the fastest growing immigrant population in that area. Out of that, only 1% of the population come to church regularly. It's less than 10% who are really reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially the young and the young adults. And they have been experiencing, you know, identity crisis, involved in drug and in crimes and going to jails and becoming, you know, not really well integrated into the society. So that's the burden I have for that community. And the churches are not really working together. So currently I'm really helping pastors come together, get connected and strengthen and work together to reach this population. It's just a harvest field. But also I'm working to mobilize Ethiopian professionals to be involved in nation building process back in Ethiopia as well and be able to blessing to the community, but not only the Ethiopian community, but as a church, we want to be a blessing to America too. We're praying for your nation. Thank God for this nation. Because, you know, we Ethiopians and the rest of the world, you have been a home. You know, you've been in a place of safety. You've been a blessing to the nations. So I think the immigrant population in America have to stand together and bless this nation, because you have been a blessing to our nations, not only to our nations, but to the people coming to this land, so that they may have opportunities for education, for jobs, and for security, and for so many reasons. Thank you so much. May God bless America. Today, I'm going to be speaking from the book of Ephesians. It's going to be, my text is going to be on Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10. Let me read that verse, and I'm going to pray and present the word of God to you. Verse 10, it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray this morning that you're going to bless this word and you're going to speak to their hearts, Lord. You're going to give me the anointing, Lord, to expound your word and communicate your word to your people, Lord. May your anointing be upon me. May your word come forth, Lord, from your throne room. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for this time, Lord. Thank you, Father. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. No, Pastor Solomon and friends from the Emmanuel Church at Raleigh have been accompanying me this morning to be part of this International Sunday. Thank you so much for being, you know, with me and coming with me too. Wow. This book, the book of Ephesians, which I'm going to preach today, is one of the favorite texts of Calvin. One American theological scholar calls it is the crown of St. Paul's writing. Another scholar calls this book the queen of all the epistles. John Stott, whom you all know, calls it is the gospel of the church. So today I'm going to be talking about the eternal purpose of God. Paul calls it the eternal purpose of God, the mystery of Christ, in the unsearchable riches of Christ. What God has accomplished through Jesus. He said on verses 10, God's intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What has God accomplished through the days and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? Paul tells us that in chapter 2, verses 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barriers, the dividing wall of hostility. Hallelujah. That's what God accomplished through the days and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He have destroyed the barriers. He have destroyed the dividing walls of hostility that have stood in between Jews and Gentiles, the rich and the poor, in every tribe, every tongue, you know, men and women. All those dividing walls have been destroyed through the work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's what Paul is saying. And Paul said, I know this through revelation. The Lord has revealed it to me that he has destroyed the barriers, the dividing walls. You might see so many walls erected in our today's culture, but it has already been destroyed through the work of our Lord Jesus 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. That wall between Jew and Gentile, that wall between men and women, that wall between the rich and the poor, that wall between the slaves and then the free, that wall has already been destroyed through the days and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What was the purpose of God in doing so? On verses 15 in chapter 2, he said his purpose was to create in himself one new man. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what God recognizes. One new man. Hallelujah. By abolishing in his flesh the law with his commandments and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them. Imagine the wall of hostility that has been between Jew and Gentiles, the most divisive one. There is no other wall as thick as the wall that was between Jew and Gentiles. And then the Lord destroyed that. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. Hallelujah. On verse 17, chapter 2, it says, he came and preached peace. Hallelujah. Can we say peace together?
Peace.
Hallelujah. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. And verse 18, it says, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. That was what God had accomplished through Christ. And then from verses 19 until verses 22, consequently, as a result of this, what happened? Because of the death and the resurrection of Christ, that wall of hostility has been destroyed, has gone, and God has created one new man in Christ. He preached peace to those far away. He preached peace to those near. What has happened as a result? Paul said in verses 19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's house, with God's people, and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. So Paul said, God has revealed this to me through revelation. And understood that in chapters, he said, God has revealed it to me. This is a mystery that has been kept from generations, from past eternity. On chapter 3, verse 8, says, the mystery made known to me by revelation. By revelation, as I have already written briefly. And in verse 4, chapter 3, it says, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Members together. Let's say together.
Together.
Once again.
Together.
Once more.
Together.
Together. Of one body and shares together. He keeps saying together. He's always talking. I think he's writing against hostility, against all those barriers. He said together with Jews, together with Gentiles, all together. Hallelujah. Shares together in the promise in Jesus Christ. That's what God has accomplished through Christ. But you know, this has been done 2,000 years ago. And now his intent is to demonstrate that. If no one would know what the Lord has done if we are not here demonstrating that. That has been done 2,000 years ago on the cross. And then, as I said on verses 10, his intent was now, not tomorrow, not 2 years from now. Now, can we say it together now?
Now.
Once more.
Now.
Once more.
Now.
Now. How? Through his church. Not through the nations. Not through United Nations. Not through some international agencies. Through you guys. That was not the purpose. The primary agent of manifesting the manifold wisdom of God was not the nations, was not UN, was not EU, was not AU. It is through his body, the church. Hallelujah. That's our calling. That's what we are called for. Paul said God's intent is to demonstrate what he has done through Christ. He has already destroyed those dividing walls of hostility. He has already created a new one man from all tribes, from all nations, from all languages, from all racial differences. He brought us together as one people, as one heirs of the promise, sharers of God's promises. And now the Lord said, I'm going to demonstrate to you what I have done on the cross through my Son, in the Spirit, through my church. That's what we are for here, to demonstrate this manifold of God's wisdom of bringing the Jews and the Gentiles together, dividing the walls of hostility. And that was evident in history, in the early church. Do you know that? The most diverse, and the first diverse institution in human history was the church. The first and the most diverse institution in human history. That has not been known to the Greeks. That has not been known to the Romans. That has not been known to the Babylonians. It was through the church in the different cities of Asia, in the different cities of Europe, where Jews and Gentiles coming together to worship under one Lord. And the Greeks were looking, and the Romans were looking. This is not something familiar with. That has never been happened in human history before the birth of Jesus Christ, before the birth of the church. You know, whenever we think of Pentecost, the book of Acts in chapter, we talk about speaking in tongues. We talk about, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit. But the whole intent of the Pentecost was to demonstrate the multiracial, the multi-ethnic nature of His church. That was the intent of God. That was the intent of the Lord. And then the birth, at the very birth of the church, that was the nature of the church. And that was new to the Greeks. You know, sometimes we think what amazes the Greeks and the Romans was not the demonstration of the power of the Spirit. You're familiar with that. They know demons working. They know power demonstrations. What was new? What was the miracle of the New Testament? Was the diverse nature of the church. Jews and Gentiles coming together and worshiping the Lord in one body. Men and women, slaves and free, together in one body, in one community, in one congregation, sitting side by side as we did it today on this International Day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That intent of God. Do you remember when Peter was in the Gentiles church and in Galatians chapter 2, and then when some people from Jerusalem came, and he was afraid, and he started to move away from the fellowship. And Paul confronted him. What are you doing? What are you doing? What you're doing, when we reflect in terms of theology, is that you are nullifying the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's huge. Sometimes we don't reflect like that. It's that we take it lightly. But that was why Jesus died. It's not for your only personal salvation, for creating a community, a church, a family, a nation, a kingdom where Jews, Gentiles, Americans, Africans, Asians, Europeans, Hispanics, all coming together in unity, black, white, coming together in unity. Hallelujah. That was God's intent. That was the wisdom of the church. That was the wisdom of our Lord. No one has been able to do that. No one. Not the UN, not the AU, not the EU, but it was only and only through His church. Amen. Hallelujah. We can influence the UN, we can influence the AU, we can influence the EU, but primarily, the Lord wants to demonstrate this nature of His church, what He has done on the cross through His church. And Paul said his intent was that now. What are you waiting for? Sometimes, you know, we say, we're waiting. What are we waiting for? It has already happened 2,000 years ago on the cross. Just the Lord is waiting. Not you are not waiting. He's waiting you. Sometimes they all wait to the Lord for the revival to come, for the Lord to move. I understand that. But if you ask the Lord, I'm waiting you. Because he said his intent was that. Now. Now. Can you say it again now?
Now.
Once more.
Now.
Through.
Now.
Through.
Church.
Through.
Church.
Through.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
You,
to make the manifold wisdom of God to be displayed. Not only to the nations. Amazing. How much God trusts you. He said not to the nations, to the powers and the principalities, to the angels, to the whole cosmos, to the universe, to display, this is my wisdom, the manifold wisdom that I've gotten through Christ. Even the angels were looking, what is going to do? What God is going to do? Even here he said, not to men, to the powers, the principalities in the heavenly realm. What God has accomplished for Christ. So this is the miracle of the New Testament. The diverse nature. That was what was new to the Greeks and the Romans. The sad story is that today the divisiveness, we had a long racial line, ethnic lion, Wales lion, is so prevalent. According to John Stott, this is the chief evangelical blind spot. Here in America, we work together. We go to restaurants together, but we don't worship together. That's prevalent. Every time I meet with Pastor Eddie, Pastor Man, with other people, we keep talking about this. What's going on? I know that there are so many cultural differences. There are so many. But how is that more than the Jew and the Gentiles? I'm going to speak about that too. He said the chief evangelical spot. The chief. You know, it was not easy, even in the early church, to bring them together in one community. So Paul has to send letters. Letters after letters. How to do it? Yeah, I understand that. It's not easy, I know. Because imagine the different, the cultural, the food, the language, and all the challenges that the Jew and Gentiles coming together. Slave and Lord, rich and poor, educated and not. I understand that. So sometimes we resort to having our own professional groups. Our own, and we call it church. No, you can call it a professional group, but that's not a church. That could be an investment group, but it's not a church. That could be a community group, but it's not a church. For it to be called a church, the number one distinct character of the church is the diverse nature. Very important. Paul continuously, you know, looking for that. So that's what John Stott said. It is the chief evangelical blind spot. And he said, this reality is enough to make one weep. Sad, depressed, angry as a church, as a leader, as a Christian. He said, it is enough to make us cry. It is enough to make us angry. That's not the church. That's not what Jesus has died for. That's not why Jesus has suffered for. That's not why the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. And this blind spot has to be illuminated through revelation. I think we need more revelation of the church. Than, you know, we have so many revelations. But one thing that we always miss was the revelation of the church. The church needs revelation. Every time, you know, because we're used to the name church and we're being grown in church, we think that we know it. You need revelation. Turn to the right or left and tell him you need the revelation of the church. What the church is. And John Stott, I love this person, and said, this reality is enough to make one weep. Why? He said, for this dishonor Christ. Nullify his days. Make it no avail. He said, it deprives us Christian witness of integrity. Contradict the very nature of the church. That's what it means, a Catholic nature of the church. You know what Catholic means? It's international. That means having all tribes, nations, which we have seen here. Praise God. And he appeals for. He said, for the sake of the glory of God. He appeals like this. In the evangelization of the world. Nothing is more important than the church should be seen to be God's new diverse society. He said, there is nothing more important than this. There are so many things that we feel important in the church. But he said, there is nothing more important than this. The church should be seen as the church. The church should be seen to be God's new society. Where all tribes come together, where all ethnicities come together and worship the Lord. So let me conclude with three recommendations from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. First, I recommend all of us here as pastors, as professionals, as Christians to be intentional in reaching out internationals. We need to start talking with internationals intentionally. Somebody who's different from me in color, in race, in ethnicity, in anything, you know. As Christians, we need to be attracted towards someone who's different from me and talk to him. Go to his house. Dine with. Conversations needs to be begun. And we need to be intentional in reaching out to the internationals so that there will be this diverse nature of the church will be demonstrated. I think that's what Paul calls in verses 1 in chapter 4, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. That's what your calling is. To be intentional in reaching out to the internationals, in developing relationships, in knowing one another. Hallelujah. Very important. Number 2, I think we need to develop the character and the theology that sustains diversity. I know diversity will not happen with a miracle. We cannot wait and a miracle to happen. We need to have develop a character and then the theology that sustains diversity. Paul, in verses 2, he asks for being completely humble. That you know, living with someone who's different from me requires some kind of humility. And he said, be completely humble and gentle. It requires being gentle and humble too. Why we are not able to maintain this diversity in the church? Because there is a lot of pride and lack of gentleness in the church. It requires some kind of humility. But also he said, bearing with one another in love. Of course, I need to be patient. I need to be tolerant. Sometimes I may not like it, but I need to. Hallelujah. Being patient, forbearing one another in love. It's not because of anything, because I love him, because I care for him. And said, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Very important. So we need to develop those characters and also the theology. Paul said there is one body, there is one spirit, there is one hope, there is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, there is one God and Father of all. Can you say one?
One.
Wow. Hallelujah. Today I'm helping you shout, you know, a lot. Yeah. Finally, let me finish with this. Make every effort. Paul said in verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. Do everything you can. Don't give up. Easily, oh, I cannot be with this person. I cannot go to this church. You know, don't be like that. What did he say? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. God bless you. Let's pray. Father God, we worship you for this morning, Lord. You have spoken to us. What you have done and accomplished through your Son, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, on the cross, through his blood, through his suffering, Lord. Help us to demonstrate this manifold wisdom of God through my life, through the life of the church, through us, oh Lord. And bring glory to you, Lord. And as John Stott appeals for the glory of God and for the evangelization of our world, Lord, help us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of love and through the bond of peace, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be intentional in reaching out to internationals. Lord, help us to develop the character that's required of us to sustain the theology that is required, Lord, to sustain diversity in the church, in your body, Lord. Thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this church, Lord, for the Greenville Church, Lord, that should be a model of reaching out the nations, Lord. Thank you for the leadership. Thank you for global impact, Lord. Thank you so much. May God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.